This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning Extra, our podcast featuring a memorable story from our most recent show. It's a conversation that offers insight beyond the broadcast. On this episode, and just in time for Halloween, the science of scary music. For movie composers, just a few notes can go a long way to create that creepy sound. But how? And why? For answers, David Pogue spoke to Michelle DiBucci, a composer and music theory professor at New York's Juilliard School.
Michelle, tell me some of the tricks of the trade that you guys use to unsettle us.
Consonance and dissonance. Consonants are different notes when they sound together. We find them very soothing.
Happy. Major
happy.
Chords. Yeah.
And then there's other notes when played together make us very unsettled.
Could you not?
Right? So composers know you're going to be unsettled if we play certain intervals. And the interval that composers love to use is the tritone, often called the devil's horn, and I think because you can fit it right in between those two fingers.
Yeah, that's not a pretty sound.
And it's tense, right? It
yeah.
wants to go somewhere. It wants to go there.
Yeah.
Ah, that's consonant. Or, see, it's tense, it wants to go there. That feels good. But when I'm sitting there, that tritone has me very unsettled. And for that reason, it was not allowed to be used in church music.
They wouldn't let you use?
No, they wouldn't. It was stirring up too many feelings in your body.
Wow.
So keep that interval out of the church. And it was called Diabolus in Musica, the devil in music. So that further, that's probably where the devil horns name came for it, and composers avoided that interval, in Western culture, probably until the 17th century.
So how does that affect horror movies, though? I mean, do they use that?
Well, they use that interval because they know you're unsettled when you hear it.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to play that interval, you want resolution.
Are there any famous ones that use that? Does The Exorcist use that?
No, The Exorcist is more connected to chant.
Oh, okay. You mentioned that the consonant chords, the major chords, are happy. So we're not going to hear probably a lot of that in tense scenes. Are you saying that the minor chord? Yeah, I play piano. That the minor chord is not so happy?
The minor chord tends to. It's a tighter chord. It does make us feel maybe more melancholy. It's a different color for us, a different shade. And so minor chords are used a lot, but nothing is quite as effective as dissonance. And when those notes get really close together, they bother us. And we either want them to stop or we want them to resolve.
Right.
I feel better now. So composers use dissonance.
Yeah.
And resolution to manipulate you.
And with major and minor, I've seen things on YouTube where people deliberately change from major to minor on famous songs just to prove the effects. You know, if you have Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in minor, you know. I mean, it's inherently scarier and sadder.
It is. It's certainly sadder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So minor is the sadder key and or mode, and I think that It's in about context. So it can certainly become scary. Minor right. can become scary. But dissonance
is it.
Or sometimes nothingness. Like where's that note going? What's it gonna do? Why is it there?
It's literally suspense.
Suspense.
We're suspended, like.
Right. So sometimes very little does a lot.
Wow.
And knowing how to use all of these effects.
And but I noticed that you did that low.
Low also, the register has something to do with how we react. Whereas in Psycho, it's the high that scares us. So that dissonance, and it's in the stratosphere register of the violins,
yeah.
really high. And that's why it has such a big effect on
you're
us.
You're creeping me
also,
out.
Also, what we're watching.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. So, but you're playing it on the piano. Does it make a difference what instrument is playing it?
Absolutely. So, that may sound unsettling to us, but the color, the timbre of the violin is so different. Just the bow on strings that I think it's, yes, the choice of instrument is very important.
Wow.
And sometimes the piano is effective in horror scores, but at that moment it has to be the string orchestra.
Now you mentioned this drone, this long, low, suspended thing. Long, low strings is also, isn't that the key to Jaws? That.
Absolutely, but it's the low is not only makes that ominous, but it's from the depths of the ocean that the monster is coming. So that low sound reinforces that something's below and coming up.
It's so genius. There's so little to it.
There's so little to
there's it. There's not even really a chord to it. It's just single
it's a
notes.
Little tiny motive, yes.
Wow. And speaking of motives or musical themes, tell me about the Dies Irae.
The Dies Irae from the funeral mass. We find most of our music from the masses and from Gregorian chant. And the mass for the dead or the funeral mass would have a section that used a sequence called the Dies Irae. Dies Irae, Dies Ila, a day of wrath, day of impending doom. And this was the judgment day. This was when it was decided if you were going to heaven or hell. And so that was just a scary concept back in the Middle Ages. And this theme descends. It brings about minor it for us. So there's something solemn about it.
Yeah.
It's a cascading musical idea. It falls down, and because it's associated with death, with doom, with judgment, it started to be used by composers outside of its reference to the Mass.
Huh.
So it was this composer Berlioz, Hector Berlioz, who pulled this melody out of the Requiem Mass, and he put it in a piece where that theme represented a witch's dance. And as soon as he did that, the die was cast, and we have used the Dies Irae theme countless times in classical music, in film music, and in pop music to mean something's not good.
So are there some movies that have used that?
Yes. The first, I think, a little bit in Citizen Kane, a little in Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. The famous opening of The Shining is all about the Dies Irae. And even if you think of the opening of The Exorcist, it's sort of inside.
Oh, yeah. Wow, and they're all stealing something that's 1,000 years old.
Yeah, they're borrowing it, right?
They're paying homage.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever used that?
I've used the text in my film score for Creepshow.
You did?
I did.
Oh my gosh. Somebody's singing it or chanting it?
Chanting it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So all composers have pulled from, I would think in a long career at one point you've pulled from the Dies Irae.
Now, is that because we as an audience somehow know that association with the dead and the witches and all that? Or is it just you film composers winking to each other and saying, see what I did there?
I don't think that people know that it's from the Mass of the Dead. I don't know if they think it's something old from the Middle Ages. I think that it becomes through association. There are countless horror movies that have this theme in it. And I believe over a lifetime of movie watching, the brain is going to know when those collections of notes come in, it does not mean something happy is about to happen.
That is wild. So we've been sort of cultured to know that that's scary. And also, it's a Latin chant. I mean, for some reason, I associate rites and satanic rituals in movies with Latin. You know, we don't understand what they're saying.
I'm sure the church isn't happy about that.
But I mean, you know, Rosemary's Baby, they're chanting in Latin, and so many climactic scenes where there's this ceremony and they're all, Eyes Wide Shut, they're all, you know, wearing costumes or masks and chanting in Latin.
Well, the mystery of language, the mystery and power of music accompanying that, that's very powerful stuff. And the idea of a club of people doing it, a boys' club doing it, it starts to get scarier and scarier if you're thinking Eyes Wide Shut or other movies like that. So. It has a haunting quality to it. We think of that sound as enhanced all the time, too, because we've heard it in churches, which has a natural reverberation. So if I go, Dies Irae, Dies Ila, it's not as scary as if I do that in a church, where there's all this reverberation in the space.
Oh, yeah.
And so my voice is fuller and more resonant, and so that effect makes it more haunting as well.
Yeah. You know, we're doing all of our examples on the keys here, but sometimes you hear sounds that are not like musical instrument sounds. You know, there's this thing where you... I mean, that's scary.
That sure is, and that's used all the time.
Oh my gosh!
Scary. Keep your foot down.
You just wrote a horror score.
Oh, yes.
Why is that upsetting me?
Because it's so dissonant and the color is unique for you.
It sounds wrong. It sounds like this is something that's going to hurt you.
Oh, but no, it's fabulous. Come on. We could have lots of fun creating a score right inside the piano.
We've been playing piano wrong all this time.
We haven't been playing it fully.
Oh, what'd you do? You just like plucked one of these?
Mm-hmm. It's best if you have a necklace or some kind of chain, even if I put my...
Here, want to use my Fitbit?
Let's see what it does.
It's got some hard middle.
Put this on it. So the Dies Irae.
Oh, it's so
becomes
stupid.
Even scarier. You see how much fun this is.
So this is what you'll do? You've got the video playing. You're like, what could I put in here?
Sure. A little bit of this, a little of that. What works? It's like being a chef. You know?
Yeah.
What do we add in? What do we take out? Not too much spice.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Imagine if the lights were low. And even if it were a camera on an empty room and you did this.
One of my faves, actually, which I use, is you put your hand on the strings.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like Law and Order, right?
Yeah. Wow.
All kinds of wonderful percussive effects.
And what's happening there? You're stopping it from ringing?
I'm dampening the string, but I have the sustain on, So when the hammer strikes it, it makes that wonderful sound.
Does it work on the middle
of
the high notes?
It's not as effective here. You need all those overtones.
Wait, keep your... Sounds like bones or something.
We put the microphone inside there. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can create lots of cool bone-like.
Yeah. Cool. Have you done that, of course?
Oh, yeah, so I use the inside of the piano a lot.
Oh, really?
Oh, piano tuners, and sometimes pianists don't like going inside. And it can make the piano go out of tune.
It's not like we're Juilliard.
I mean, John Cage put bowls inside the piano.
Bowls?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I mean, prepared piano. He prepared the piano all kinds of ways. So.
Oh, wow.
So if I take a piece of paper, then I put it in there. It's not as effective as I wanted it to be, but anything that you put on the piano is going to start changing it. The best is a long chain.
Long chain,
you start to get a harpsichord type sound. La 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 la.
That's Rosemary's Baby,
yes.
Right? And one thing that's wrong with it is it's a lullaby in a minor key. So already you're messing with it. And also you're doing some dissonant stuff. In the second phrase. Yeah, right there. There's a.
There we go. It's the simplicity of this, that it's a human voice singing the melody.
Yeah.
Which is la 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 la. So the melody, this whispery quality in her voice.
Yeah, it's Mia Farrow, right? And she's right up against the mic, really la la la, like this breathy.
Right.
Tremulous thing is creepy.
So creepy lullaby. I mean, no one's going to be singing that to their baby.
Not unless they want a big therapy bill in 20 years.
So the human voice on that, the simplicity of it, the breathiness, the intimacy of it. We've got this big film that's unfolding, but you've got this very intimate soundtrack, and that's really haunting.
But see, that's really genius for the composer to think that way. Like, if I were a newbie writing a horror score, I would think, you know, loud and crashy and dissonant and bass and low. I wouldn't think soft and sweet and pretty and breathy.
Well, you need contrast. If everything is loud and big and bold, then loud and big and bold isn't loud and big and bold.
That's
so
great.
So I think that the composer knew that it was going to get pretty dark with chanting and more dissonant aspects later on, and this was a moment for this intimacy.
Oh.
And we're invited into this film right from the start with this creepy lullaby. I mean, we perceive it creepy from the beginning because of the quality of her voice.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a lullaby that's in a minor key with the clashing notes like that. I mean,
I think there are lullabies in minor keys. It's just we associate this with Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. And-
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.